Well, you know, when Bonnie had asked me to share it tonight, God put that song on my heart. And I just hope that it kind of softens or sets your heart for what I have to share with y'all tonight. So God bless and thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Vicki, once again for this awesome opportunity to share my heart and to share God's word. It's always, always, always a privilege and an honor, brother, anytime you ask. So I got a wonderful story tonight. Of course, it's a true story. A true story of God's grace, his mercy, his faithfulness, and his love. I love real-time stories or recent testimonies of seeing how God works in others and even in our own lives. And it's all about listening, giving, and of course, prayer. And I'm sure that we all got stories or testimonies and stories of God working and seeing his hand in our everyday life. Even little things. You know, we meet so many people throughout our lives, throughout the journey of lives. You know, Dan Meekus had done a wonderful teaching not too long ago on a reason, a season, and a lifetime. And it just, every time I listen to that or I think about it, it just touches my heart in a special way. So, you know, you're just walking around one day, just living your life. You might be minding your own business when something happens that you weren't expecting. It just happens. It pops up and you ask God, okay, Father, here we are. What do I do? What do I say? So this short story is it's just another example of living in grace and under grace. Well, some or most of us, we live in pretty healthy lives, abundant lives, but some not so much. And that's pretty obvious when we take a look around. There's a lot of need out there, and God's still in the business of meeting needs. You know, we pray for them. We make intercession for them. Our hearts, I guess, it cries when we see those that are out there suffering and in need, and you want to see them healed and delivered in the name of Jesus Christ, just like in the book of Acts. So we do our best in this environment, in this culture, or the society that we live in, to listen and hear that small, still voice that speaks to us and kind of wait for that green light, so to speak, to maybe go over to a particular situation that might arise and minister. We minister with confidence and, you know, with boldness, kindness, and most of all with compassion. And we believe to see deliverance immediately, a miracle. We got the ability. You know, I think of the man that had that need that was sitting at the gate temple who asked Peter and John and Acts for some money. And Peter said to him, silver and gold I don't have. I ain't got no money. But what I do have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And Peter took him by the right hand, and immediately his feet, and his ankles were healed. He leaped up. He started walking. He entered the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Guys, what a mind picture. I'm sure we can all see that in our minds, right? Just visualize what that moment was like, what it looked like to Peter and John. What happened to them, guys? Well, they were filled with that Holy Spirit that they had received on the day of Pentecost. So we say to ourselves, can that type of stuff still happen now? That was back then. Well, heck yeah, we have just as much of that Holy Spirit as Peter have. And like I say, I got a short story. It's not quite as dramatic as Peter and John, but you know, it blessed me so much that I had to share it. It's like when the wow factor, when you see it, when you see God show up in the details, and then you recognize it and it just hits you. So this story begins with a trip to Walmart, Home Depot, and Hobby Lobby with my son and sister-in-law. Now, these stores are relatively close to one another, and it's about a 35-mile drive from home, 70 miles round trip, and we don't get out to this particular part of the country very often, so we take advantage of the opportunity when we get there. We take advantage of our time out there. So I had just gotten out of Walmart, and I'm sitting in my car waiting for my son and my sister-in-law to get out, and I was looking at the Home Depot sign at the building from the parking lot that was still our next stop. We were going over there next. When I get a call from Barney, and he just happened to be on his way to Home Depot in his neck of the woods. So it's kind of funny how things like that happen, huh? Kind of makes you go, huh? So we talked for a short time, and I went over to Home Depot, did what I needed to do, got done what needed to be done. Then it was over to Hobby Lobby. Now, the parking lot was kind of crowded, but I did find a spot close to the front of the store. As we're getting out of the car, I saw a guy kind of walking, more like hobbling in front of Hobby Lobby, holding his leg. Well, not like he was walking with his leg in his hand. It was still attached to him. That would kind of be a good story, huh? But no, he was dragging it. He was looking like he was in so much pain. You could almost feel that pain. I just can't describe the look of hurt and hopelessness that I could see on him. My heart sank. So I said, "What do I do, Father?" He was heading towards a bench a few stores down. My son said, "Be cautious, Dad. I've seen this scenario before." But I couldn't help it. God said, "Go do it." So I went over to him. And as he was heading over to the bench, I gives him a shopping cart, you know, to help him balance himself and to make it to the bench. And I says, "Hey, buddy." I says, "What's going on?" His face showed it. He was so full of, like I said, pain and anguish, almost hopelessness. He said, "I need surgery on my leg." He pulled up his pant leg, and his ankle was blown out probably 3 times the size it should be. It was swollen up pretty bad. And he said he and his wife were homeless. They're living in a tent. And I could see the desperation and a blank look in his eyes. Like he has said this story before. He asked me if I could get him a drink. Not water. He didn't want water. He needed a fix. He needed the real stuff. So, you know, I probably would have given him a couple bucks, but it just so happened I didn't have any cash on me. I just had my debit card, my ATM card. I usually always carry a few bucks on me, but that particular day, I didn't have any cash. That's when Peter and John kind of popped into my head, and that wonderful record in Acts 3 come alive in my head. So I told him at that point, I said, I didn't have any cash, but I had something better. I had prayer. You know, he rolled his eyes. I said, "What's your name?" And he grunted out. He said his name was JJ. So I prayed for JJ. I prayed for his ankle, his situation, his wife, his housing, opportunity to arise for deliverance in his life. Now, at that point, we didn't have too much eye contact after that. So I touched his shoulder, and I says, "I love you, brother." And I went in the Hobby Lobby. So I was in there for maybe about 10 minutes or so. I come out, and I'm waiting in my car for my son and my sister-in-law again. They were dilly-dallying in the store. So I comes out. Like I said, I was waiting in my car. And as I was sitting in there, I saw JJ in the same spot with a few of, very shady characters with him. I said, "Okay, now I think I know what's going on." Or did I? That question started popping up in my head. And after thinking about it throughout the day, you know, sometimes you just can't stop thinking about things that happen. I said, "Okay, did I do it right? Did I make a difference in this guy?" Helpful thoughts started creeping into your mind, you know? That's once again the adversary just trying to poke at you, trying to plant those seeds of doubt. I don't know, maybe that happens to you too, but it happens to me sometimes. So, you know, I spoke to a couple of wonderful believers who helped me in that moment to open up my eyes just a little wider with some love and encouragement, because that's what we do. It's so important to the body of Christ, and it's such a beautiful thing we have. We have believers that we can talk to when something may be weighing heavy on your heart. And hey, that's what family does, right? Then my beautiful wife, Vicky, said something to me that just put things in perspective and kind of made me think right. She made it simple. She said, "Hey, what if JJ wakes up tomorrow with no pain, no swelling, a job, opportunity housings for him and his wife, no addiction? That's what you prayed for, right?" Well, yep, she was right. You know, I haven't been back to the Hobby Lobby since then. Now, I'll probably never see JJ again, but you know, I kind of hope to. But, you know, it doesn't change a thing. God's word still stands. It never comes back void. It's still living and breathing today as much 2,000 years ago, or should I say since the beginning. It still acts now. God hasn't changed anything. His promises are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his mercies, we know, is new every morning. Now, I know we all want to be good Samaritans, like the parallel in Luke chapter 10. We want to love our neighbors. We want to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. In Proverbs, you know, Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. You know, we live and we walk in this world with the knowledge and the wisdom of God's word. And we do our best to listen to God in every situation and hear that small, still voice. So my message tonight is love God, love your neighbor, and be a good Samaritan. So that's what I wanted to share tonight, and I thank everybody on the line here for the opportunity to listen to me. And I say stay happy, stay blessed, and we'll see you either here, there, or in the air.